Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
You can wrap this one, my friend, in maroon and white. 10 seconds, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Bingo!
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else.
It's Wednesday night. Do you know what that means? It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi. I'm Brian Haydad. Rhino down there in Studio X, piloting this ship along as only he can. We are brought to you by the good folks over at the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. Visit Vicksburg.com is the website. We'll be telling you about some of the great stuff going on in my hometown of Vicksburg, where I will be tomorrow. Rhino, I have been invited. This is one of those things, man. I have been invited to speak to the Vicksburg Rotary Club tomorrow.
Ah.
Didn't have that on my checklist. And now I guess I'm on the circuit because I've been invited to speak to the Starkville one as well. I guess Starkville heard that Vicksburg got me. They're like, well, we can't let that happen. So I'm in demand.
So you're in the Rotarian rotation.
Yes. Yes. So I'll be at the Vicksburg Country Club tomorrow speaking around lunchtime. If you're in the Vicksburg area, you're a member of the Rotary Club, please come out and say hello. Be great to be home for a couple of days. If you want to join the conversation here tonight, it's available to you on the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. That's the text line number. We got a lot to talk about tonight. In just a little bit, we're going to go to an interview I did earlier with Matt Brown, who is the publisher of the Extra Points newsletter. Not Mississippi State related so much, but he has done a lot of research and work and writing on the EA College football video game. And has actually had the chance to play that game. So I got his thoughts on a lot of stuff. So that's going to be a fun interview. We're going to do that a little later in the show. But first, hit it, Rhino.
Creighton, 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 Creighton. Creighton, 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 Creighton.
I got to re-record that. The ending is too abrupt. I got to let that fade out a little bit. It just ends right there. So I got to do something about that. State has been if I made Rhino play the Creighton song for every commitment Mississippi State has gotten over the past 4 or 5 days, I wouldn't be able to talk in this segment. It would just be the Creighton song because they have been racking them up. They've added now 7 commitments since Saturday evening. They expect a couple more maybe in the coming days, maybe one as early as Friday. And the size of the class has gone from 4 to 11. Now, I'm going to cut some of the thing off at the pass right here. Let's stop the Ole Miss fans from jumping in here with that 3-star U talk. Mississippi State went 5-7 a season ago. They have had 3 head coaches in the last 3 seasons. They don't have a lot of continuity. They don't, you know, they're kind of an unknown, especially on the defensive side of the ball. They're not going to attract a ton of 4- and 5-star guys right now. They'll still get their share of guys. They've got Kamario Taylor, who continues to shoot up the rankings, the quarterback out of Noxubee. I still think they're the favorite to get Caleb Cunningham when it's all said and done. But Mississippi State's going to continue to take guys in that high 3-star, low 4-star range and try to develop them. We're going to talk a little bit more about that later this week on the podcast. I don't want to go too far down the road. The thing I wanted to look at with a lot of these guys were their offers. And I think it's a good mix. A few of these guys have a lot of good offers. Some, I'll be quite frank with you, are projects. And there's no getting around that. Mississippi State is still going to take a couple of those guys, especially when you're talking about an offensive lineman. Let's start with there. Josiah Clemens out of Clinton Christian Academy down there in Clinton. I mean, he's 6'7" and 315 pounds. If you're going to take a project, take a big one. And I don't mean that by, you know, he's got a lot of work to do. I mean, he's a big kid. You can't teach that. Yeah. He's 6'7" and 315 pounds, and you can't teach that. Take a chance on that kid. The kid I like the best from the weekend is a guy named Stephen Miller, a defensive back out of Greensboro, Georgia, Greene County High School. He's got the offer sheet that makes you think that he might end up being a four-star KY this time this is all done. LSU, Tennessee, Vandy, West Virginia, Arkansas. I mean, he had quality Power Four offers. Big kid, 6'2", 180-pound defensive back. I'm for it. I'm for it. Mainly defensive guys, you know, and I think they're expecting an offensive guy in the next couple of days or so, but, you know, not so much as of yet. Josiah Clemens, the offensive lineman, the only guy so far. Everybody else, DBs. They got 1, 2, 3, 4 defensive backs in this group. Got 2 defensive linemen and a linebacker. The linebacker is a JUCO kid, LaKendrick James. He's from Northside High School, Shelby, Mississippi. Now he's at Colin. He was on State's radar as a high school prospect, but ends up going to Colin, and he's headed to Mississippi State now. And then the other guy that has my attention is this Cavante Henry player. Defensive lineman. He's at Cerritos College in Los Angeles, but prior to stopping JUCO, he was an Oklahoma signee. Had some academic issues, had to go the JUCO route. Now we'll be at Mississippi State. I reached out to a couple of people who cover Oklahoma or who are at Oklahoma to get their thoughts on that, and they both said big miss for Oklahoma not to get him. They not getting him in was tough. They wanted to get him in. He is that kind of player. Based on everything I've heard and read about this kid and watching his film, he's a guy that if he were in the class of 24, if you could get him onto your roster this year, he would contribute this year. He would fill a void at that defensive end position that you don't really have that guy right now. He's a little bit, I feel like he would be a big contributor for State right away. So when he gets here next year, I expect him to come in. You know, I feel like if you're talking about a guy who was at a Power 5 school and makes the drop down to JUCO and then goes to Mississippi State, I feel like you're just automatically going to make the Montez Sweat comparison. And I don't think he's that guy. I don't know that he's the same kind of athlete, but he is going to be counted on to deliver the pass rush that's really been missing from Mississippi State's defense since Montez Sweat left after the 2018 season. State is not. I mean, I know what you're going to say. Well, Bukie Watson led the league in sacks, and I get that last year. I understand that, but I would not consider Bukie Watson an elite pass rusher, and the NFL didn't either. They didn't draft him until late in the draft. I'm talking about a guy who can come off the edge and deliver pressure on a consistent basis. And that's what this guy, Cavante Henry, is going to be asked to do when he arrives. Now, I don't know if he's going to do that, but that's what they're going to look for. So State up to 11 commitments. They had 15 visitors last weekend. And it looks like they're going to get commitments from 9 of the 15, possibly 10 of the 15. That's a really, really strong weekend. And one of the things I talked about on I think it's on tomorrow's podcast, is your first weekend visits, your first group of guys you bring in, those are the guys that are on your list as your top priorities. Those are the guys that you've got penciled in as, okay, if we can sign a safety, we can sign 2 corners. These are the guys we want. Bring them in. When you miss on those guys is when it turns into, okay, who can we get in here, and then you're scrambling. And so if you're bringing in guys for their first visits and you're getting them, that tells me that you are doing a good job of getting the guys that your staff has deemed as a priority. So to that end, yeah, the recruiting profiles aren't overly impressive. It's a bunch of 3-star guys. I would tell you that Mississippi State has made a living over the last decade winning football games with 3-star guys, you know, with 4-star guys mixed in. And obviously it's a long way to go to signing day. This weekend, State is expecting to have maybe 20 to 25 guys on campus doing official visits. These new summer official visits, State's really doing a pretty good job of putting together some big weekends. Now, Caleb Cunningham will not be one of those guys. He's at Alabama this weekend, but he's probably at State right now. I talked about this a little bit on Sports Talk Mississippi. That kid's just always in Starkville. His friends go to school here. He He's got a great relationship with Jeff Lebby. He's got a great relationship with Chad Bumpus. And you have a better than 50-50 chance, I think, if you just happen to be around the SEAL building, Caleb Cunningham might be there. If you go walk around on campus, you might bump into Caleb Cunningham. So he may not be in Starkville this weekend, but he'll be here at some point this week if he hasn't already. And I think his plan is to visit officially for a game weekend. So be it. But a lot of top targets will be here, especially this is more of an in-state weekend. Last weekend was a lot of the out-of-state guys. You'll see a lot more Mississippi kids. And that's something that's interesting about this class to this point. You know, Mississippi State is a school that consistently recruits Mississippi well. Right now, only two Mississippi commitments in the class. I guess three when you count the kid James, the JUCO kid. But eight of those guys are from out of state. That's unusual at any time of the year for the Bulldogs. So, all right, when we come back, my interview with Matt Brown, Extra Points Newsletter. We're going to talk about something I have been looking forward to for months and that we are 1 month away from as we sit here today. On July 19th, the release of EA College Football 25. I'll get his thoughts on the game, what's in the game, what's not in the game, and what he liked about it when he got the chance to play it. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Hi, I'm Henry.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
You called down the thunder, well now you got it.
Thunder and Lightning back here on Super Talk Mississippi. Before we go to that interview, I want to let you guys know that this weekend at the Southern Cultural Heritage Foundation, it's the Star Spangled Block Party and Night Run. Starts at 6, and it's a 5K run at dark through downtown Vicksburg, and then after the race, there'll be a big party for all volunteers and participants. It's a $7 entry for the block party. For more information, call 601-631-2997. Let's go now to my interview with Matt Brown from the Extra Points Newsletter. If you've been listening to this podcast for the past couple of months, if you've been listening to the radio show for the past few months, you know that I have taken off on July the 19th. I have asked for a personal day. I will not be available. I don't care what happens in the world of sports because I will be locked in playing EA College Football 25 for the first time in over a decade with a new game. This man knows more about it than just about anybody else out there, Matt Brown. He writes Extra Points. It's a great newsletter. If you are interested in the business of college football, I definitely suggest you subscribe to it. You can follow him on Twitter, at Matt Brown EP, and he got to play the game. Matt, how does it feel to be the envy of basically every red-blooded American male out there right now?
It's definitely been a surreal couple of weeks, especially as somebody who does not consider himself a capital G gamer and did not get into this business to be breaking video game news. Kind of fell on this beat here by accident, but it's great to, had the thing, actually gotten behind the sticks for a little bit and to help be a part of something that is so emotionally important to so many people.
Are you a play your favorite team from the start kind of guy, or are you a I'm going to win a national title with Akron kind of guy?
Oh, I can't relate to anybody that sits there and thinks, boy, I can't wait to just hop on the game and play with Alabama. I grew up in Columbus. I went to Ohio State, but when I start playing this game, I'm unquestionably going to play with Akron or Kennesaw or Monroe first. There's no fun in starting with a team that's already got six stars.
I hope you choose Akron. Joe Moorhead's a friend of mine, so I'd love to see him get a national title while he's up there. When you got to play the game, how complete were the rosters in terms of, you know, how many left tackles 61 or CB 22 did you see on the teams that you got a chance to play?
Well, for this, I think it's important to reiterate that the build that I played, which is I think we're now coming up on three-ish weeks ago, mm-hmm. did not have all of the rosters completed. And by that, we mean it isn't because they didn't get the players' IP or NIL rights. It was they hadn't finished making the likeness and importing everybody into the roster. So, like as an example, if I played with Ohio State for a little bit, yeah, their quarterback's in the game, and a lot of the wide receivers are in the game. But you did have a couple of dummy players or names that would probably be on the two deep that weren't there. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be in the game. It just means that like they weren't finished when we played them. The other, I think kind of funny change, and this was true when we played Madden as well, is that even when they had finished putting players' names and correct attributes, the player models come in later. So like when I played with Syracuse, I want to say 2/3 of my offense had the Kyle McCord like build. It's like, oh, it's oops, all Kyles. I have an offensive line full of Kyle McCords. I have the quarterback. And obviously that's not what's going to be in the game right now. I would tell fans that EA got over 12,000 people signed to this contract and opted it. And so you are going to play with a roster of overwhelmingly current and real players, no matter who you play with.
That being said, you know, as we know, rosters stay in flux almost continually now in college football. Covering Mississippi State, they've added, you know, 3 or 4 players in the last month. How what's the plan to update rosters throughout the season from EA?
Yeah, what they've told me is that they're treating this game like any other AAA sports title right now, which means that they're viewing this as a live service rather than a static release. Like, you know, I have on my desk a copy of the Sega Genesis Bill Walsh college football game. When you bought that, yeah, right? Like,
you just took me back, my friend.
Whole Sega thing. But when you got that bad boy and all, you know, 12 megabytes of glory, the roster's the roster, right?
Yeah.
The way that it's been explained to me is that it's not technically very challenging to move a player from one team to another or to make a change during the season. They don't want to set the expectation that any kind of roster movement is going to be put there immediately. But, you know, Madden and NBA 2K and NHL will publish roster updates. And I've been told that capacity exists here, not just for players that transfer or drop off of rosters or make other changes, but for new uniforms. New traditions that happen during the season, potentially even playbook changes. These are the kind of things that can be updated over the course of the year.
When we look at the games that you got to play, what stood out to you from a gameplay perspective? Obviously, the visuals and seeing those your favorite traditions come to life is cool. But just from playing a football game, what stood out to you?
I would say that playing the game itself, it was pretty clear that this is going to be very different from NCAA 14. Like, I struggled my first hour playing the game because I was, you know, used to animations and throwing style and the option, you know, specific ways, and a lot of those mechanics are different. I think there's going to be a learning curve for a lot of people, particularly for how you run the option. I think the game is not going to hold your hand in making the correct read quite as much as it did before. But that means that when you do make the right read and you have a little bit more control over how you pitch the ball and where you are kind of spatially, it's very satisfying. I also think that from what we played and what we were shown, the game is going to make a big effort to prevent you from cheesing the same 3 or 4 plays.
Yeah.
Whether that's through the updates and how the computer AI system works for on-the-fly coaching adjustments, as well as the wear and tear system. If you have a 5'9", 160-pound quarterback, and you call plays like Urban Meyer and call 14 designated quarterback runs, that man's going to be in the hospital by the third quarter. He's going to have an 18 speed rating, and it's not going to work. So you're going to have to actually, you know, manage your physical wear and tear over the course of a game and manage your playbook rather than just feeding one guy every single time.
So just let me clear that up a little bit. Let's say that I have a running play that's working. I can switch out my running backs and try to keep the wear and tear low, but the computer will still adjust to the fact that I'm running the same play over and over again.
Yeah, that's my understanding. Now, they might not be able to stop it, right?
Right.
If you're playing as Georgia and you're going up against Sam Houston State, I think the big difference is, right, is that like this year, the matchup talent difference is going to matter a lot. So you can put in your backups and if you can physically overpower people, you don't need to be super creative with schemes. You could just beat them with Joe versus Joe, just like in real football.
What's the new feature on the game that you like the most? And then what's the old feature that didn't make the cut that you missed the most?
Well, I think the old feature, this isn't something that I personally feel super strongly about, but my audience has definitely let me know a lot over the last couple of weeks. In the popular Road to Glory mode, in previous editions, you would start as a high school player.
Right.
And you would try to win a championship that way. That's not the case this year. You will start as a college recruit, and you'll kind of pick your school based on what kind of archetype you are. EA believes that this is a better change because it gets you into the college game faster. And makes that mode, you know, kind of turn over a little bit faster. I understand some people don't like that. They're not going to be a big fan. I am personally most excited to really get in the weeds with the new recruiting system at Dynasty, particularly in how coach archetypes and skill trees are set up. If you played this game and you remember the last edition, you know, you would level up your coach over the course of your career, depending on what you did on the field. But everybody built their coach the exact same way. You put all your points into recruiting until you max that out. Then you switch to the other thing. And after 4 years, 3 years, you'd be maxed out at everything. You're not going to be able to do that this year. There's a lot more flexibility. I think there's 11 different kind of like trees that where you can go to add different skills to your coach, and you can't max everything out. And then you have, I think, a very interesting creative decision about, do you hire coordinators who are good at stuff that you're not to be more well-rounded? Or do you double or triple down on what kind of coach that you are and hope to build your program that way? I don't know what the right answer is going to be. I think it'll be fun to get in the weeds and see.
One last question, and maybe, you know, we're asking for a little bit much, but do you know if there's any plans to revive the college basketball and for Mississippi State fans here, college baseball franchises that used to be on PlayStation?
Yeah, I've written about this a lot. And while I would never say never, I would tell people that the odds of that happening as a AAA video game, like something that's released annually by EA, are very, very low. People need to remember that the basketball, and especially the baseball games, they didn't sell very well. They were canceled before the O'Bannon case. Like the college football series, EA wanted to keep making that. It made lots of money. It was the NCAA that wouldn't let them do it. Everyone got out of the college basketball and baseball business well before that. So bringing those games back now for EA would not just require expensive licensing rights, but they'd also have to, you know, completely rebuild their ability to make a AAA basketball or baseball game. And you can do that for football because you know you're easily going to make $200 million this year because video game development has gotten so much more expensive. If your potential market size is 60 million, 70 million, it becomes much more complicated. Not saying it can't happen, but I think it is more likely to happen as an indie game rather than a AAA game.
Yeah, it's a good point that EA doesn't have a NBA game either. They don't have a model to work it off of. It's 2K, so that's a really good point. Matt, I cannot tell you how excited I was to do this interview. This game has become an obsession of mine over the past few months. And seeing that Bill Walsh, I'll just go ahead and tell you, if Sega Genesis had online play, I would get on there today with Nebraska 83 and run all over the place. I would. Matt Brown, Extra Points Newsletter. Definitely check that out if you want more information on this game and, like I said, on the great business going on in college football right now. Thank you so much for your time today. Really, really appreciate it.
You bet. Take care. Thanks for having me.
We'll be right back here on Thunder and Light.
For all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services, Glass Networks. They're going to try and steer you to use their own glass shop. Well, you can tell your insurance you want to use Venable Glass, and there'll be no additional cost to them to get the highest quality glass. Venable Glass is locally owned and operated, and they do windshield replacement and rock repair right there in their shops. Or they'll even come to you in the Tri-County area for free. That's right, free mobile service. At Venable Glass, they also do frameless and frame shower doors, mirrors cut to size and installed, picture frame glass, tables, desktops, insulated glass, plexiglass, commercial storefronts, and heavy equipment glass. Venable Glass. They'll come out and give you a free estimate. They want to work hard for your business. Venable Glass. Open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, and on Saturday, 8 to noon. Hey, there's two locations, too, in Ridgeland at 660 Highway 51 North and Brandon at 209 Woodgate Drive South in Cross Gates. Check them out on the web at VenableGlass.com. Remember, for all your glass needs, call Venable Glass Services, 601-605-4443.
Hey guys, this is Schaefer Davidson and my wife Lori, owners of Davidson Marble and Granite of Canton, Vicksburg, and McGee. We also have Davidson Monument Company of Forest and Kosciuszko, as well as Central Mississippi Monument Company of Carthage and Louisville.
We offer a variety of granite, marble, and bronze headstones. We have expanded our suppliers, therefore shortening our lead times to better serve you.
We are a third-generation family-owned business serving Mississippi since 1937. Check us out on Facebook or at Davidson Marble. MarbleandGranite.com.
If you don't see the rock, you better keep on rolling.
Can't find time to make an appointment for an oil change? Rapid Oil Change offers no appointment needed services. Drive in and save big. We offer spacious waiting areas and complete most routine maintenance in 15 minutes or less. Stop by today and see why we've been Mississippi's fast service leader for over 37 years.
Rapid Oil Change, where you should be going. If you don't see the rock, you better keep on rolling.
This is Home Answers Radio, and my guest today is Trey Jackson of Bulldog Construction. Trey, If a business has uneven sidewalks, they're asking for trouble. Would you agree?
Lynn, they are. It's a trip hazard and it needs to be fixed. Our foam technology can level those uneven walks without having to lay down any new concrete. Much easier and more affordable.
Trey, my wife tripped over one of those and skinned her knee up.
She was fortunate. Call Bulldog Construction at 601-853-4242.
Do you suffer from allergies, sinus or respiratory problems, or just want to improve the quality of air you breathe in your home or business? Pure Air Consultants can help. As your indoor environmental specialist, we clean air ducts, install UV lights, and service all makes and models of heating and cooling systems. We offer the most dependable Energy Star qualified systems in the industry. Call Pure Air Consultants today, 601-939-7420.
A proud provider of Rheem Home AC Systems. Are you feeling it? Rheem. The new degree of comfort.
I'm Caleb Sailors, and you're listening to Super Talk Mississippi News. The Gulfport Fire Department has announced the passing of former Chief Michael Byerstedt. Officials say the chief was a dedicated servant to the city of Gulfport and made a profound impact on the men and women of the fire department. Byerstedt is reported to have passed away unexpectedly, with Mayor Billy Hughes saying that the chief leaves behind a wonderful legacy of exemplary service. Just days after Hinds County supervisors approved the state's largest solar farm, Mississippi's Public Service Commission announced that it will be thoroughly vetting upcoming projects. On Monday, Hinds County officials in a 3-2 vote narrowly gave the green light for Charlottesville, Virginia-based Apex Clean Energy to build a roughly 6,000-acre solar facility in the Bolton and Raymond areas, despite outcries from members of the community. The commission on Wednesday stated that it will be conducting a rigorous review process before the project or any solar farm the state is built. Find out more at supertalk.fm.
What's the key to discovering delectable dining? Find something that sizzles, a time-tested favorite, a feast for your eyes and palate, and a dining experience handled with care. In Vicksburg, the key to the South.
Plan a visit to Grammy Museum, Mississippi to experience Highway 61.
Traveling America's Music Highway now through the fall 2024. This exhibit will take visitors on a journey down the famous Highway 61, exploring music sites, artifacts, and celebrating the artists that played a major role in shaping American music history. Artists like Muddy Waters, Ann Peoples, Dr. John, Conway Twitty, and Bobby Rush, to name a few. To purchase tickets or to learn more about this exhibit and other events,
visit GrammyMuseumMississippi.org.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
He doesn't accept the narrative. He questions it. We're just getting to the bottom of this. Gallo. Every single morning from 6 till 9. Super Talk Mississippi.
No other news team covers the Magnolia State like Super Talk Mississippi News. On air with reports every hour and breaking news as it happens. Your news all the time. On air and online at supertalk.fm.
Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
Takes a part of we are back here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. Thanks for joining us here on a Wednesday evening. If you want to contact me on here on the show, you want to talk, the C Spire text line is available to you. 601-879-4395 is the number. We are brought to you by Visit Vicksburg, the Vicksburg Convention and Visitors Bureau. I want to let you know that starting June 23rd through the 28th, the Terra Wildlife Advanced Arch Wildlife and Archery Camp, the Terra Advanced Wildlife and Archery Camp, I got it right eventually, is happening. It starts at 5 p.m. on the 23rd at Terra Wildlife, 6791 Eagle Lake Shore Road. Open to kids 12 to 16. It'll emphasize outdoor skills, hunter safety, wildlife studies. There's a $200 deposit. It's an $800 cost for the camp. Notable activities include campfires and cookouts, entomology, wildlife tours, and much, much more. For more information or to register your child, call 601-279-4261 or visit www.tarawildlife.com. Are you impressed that I got entomology? Be honest.
A little bit.
I mean, I just rolled it right off the tongue there. There's nothing to it. Also, I have a funny anecdote that I'm going to have to tell you during the break. We'll wait for that. I was thinking today, so as I mentioned in that interview, we're 1 month away from the availability of that video game, which means, as you know, the week of, I will be in Dallas along with Richard and Michael for SEC Media Days, and along with our friend Houston McDavid, of course, who will help us broadcast because that's what he does. He's the best at it. So we're a month out from SEC Media Days, and I was just thinking out loud to myself the other day about who is State going to take to that? Who is the face of the program for Mississippi State football right now? You know, last year was an easy selection, and regardless of how the season went, Will Rogers was clearly going to go to SEC Media Days in 2023. He was the face of the program at that time. You know, prior to that, they didn't send Will the previous year, but they sent Austin Williams and Bookie Watson, and those fine representatives there. You know, Dak obviously went a few times. Nick Fitzgerald was there his senior year. You know, you try to find that guy to be the face of the program. For Ole Miss, I would imagine Jackson Dart goes. Quinshon Judkins was there last year. Carson Beck likely to be there for Georgia. Quinn Ewers likely to be there for Texas. You know, we'll see the quarterbacks. And for other schools, like, you know, for LSU, maybe they send Harold Perkins. He's probably I would consider him the face of the LSU program, the best defensive player in college football right now. You know, for Alabama, I mean, I guess they send Milrow. I guess so. Auburn would probably send Peyton Thorne. Arkansas, I don't know who Arkansas sends. That would be one where I'm not sure. Florida will send Graham Mertz. I don't know if Carolina sends Lenore Sellers or not. I don't know that Kentucky sends Vandergriff or not. But it got me thinking about State and like, who is the face of the program right now for Mississippi State? And in some ways, it's Jeff Lebby, right? Because you just don't have a lot of faces. And you think back to this past spring, we didn't talk to Chapin at one time. So I haven't really had a chance to get to know him and don't know much about him. And by that same token, Mississippi State fans don't either because we just haven't had that opportunity. Obviously, Lebby wanted to let the quarterback competition be, you know, foremost in everyone's mind and didn't want any distractions. And so be it. You know, if I would rather it be no availability than odd availability, if you understand what I'm saying. I would rather it be so we can only sit down with him once and you're not allowed. I don't want to deal with that. Just tell him he can't come. That's fine. So who does State take? I mean, off the top of your head, name an offensive player that you think Mississippi State would take to SEC Media Days that you know. I mean, they'll probably take Chapin. They might take Kelly Akari or Kevin Coleman. I don't think Jaden Wally's going. Maybe Creed Whittemore could go. He could go. That could be a face of the program kind of guy. Defensively, I mean, I feel like Stone Blanton will go, but I mean, this is his first year in Starkville. Does DeMonte Russell go? Does Don Terry Russell go? John Lewis? J.P. Purvis? Bryce Pop? I mean, I don't know who the face of the program is. And so that can be both exciting and a little worrisome because you like to have that one guy, right? You think about the best team State has had, and they've had that guy they could rally around in every sport. You know, obviously when it was Jake Mangum, and then it was Tanner Allen for baseball. Prior to that, it was Brent Rooker, and you go on back with that. In basketball, when you had Quindary Weatherspoon, you kind of rally around him. This past year, it started off as Tolu Smith, and it became Josh Hubbard. But you know who the face of the program is for Mississippi State basketball. You know who the face of the program is. For Mississippi State baseball this year, you knew the face of the program. It was Dakota Jordan. You knew that. You don't know who it is for football. So that allows us a couple of things. It means that when we go to Media Days, we get to hear some new stories. We get to talk to some people we have not spoken to before. We get to learn about players we don't know very much about. That, to me, from my perspective, is exciting, to be able to bring you guys their stories and be able to bring you information that you don't already have. But at the same time, you know, as a fan, you're like, I don't know these guys. It's tough in this transfer portal era sometimes, especially when it's year one of a transition, to connect to the guys. I mean, Ole Miss fans are going to have a connection to Jackson Dart. They'll have a connection to Priest Korn, to Trey Harris. They don't have a connection to Walter Nolan yet, or Princey Umamalalen. I believe I said that right. If I did, good job me. They don't have that connection yet because they haven't seen them. You have to see the guy in your uniform, right? You have to see him make a play. It's one thing to see a recruiting graphic. I gotta see Blake Shapen complete a pass for Mississippi State in a real game before I'm like, okay, he's a Bulldog now. I gotta see, you know, Davon Booth carry the football. I got to see Kelly Akari catch a pass. I got to see Stone Blanton make a tackle before I have that connection to them that I have had in the years past with the players who have worn the maroon and white. And I think that's true about all fans, right? I mean, if you're an Ole Miss fan, you certainly have a greater connection to Jackson Dart than you do to Walter Nolan right now, because you just haven't seen Walter Nolan do anything for Ole Miss, and you've seen and Jackson Dart has won games for Ole Miss. And that's just true everywhere in college football. So Media Days is going to be really interesting to me in terms of we're going to get new stories. We're going to meet some new players. I was trying to think, like, if State decided to really, you know, I don't know quite how to put it, but like if they decided to just bring in guys that were already on the team and you don't know, you know their names, but you don't know much about them. Like if they sent, I don't know, Jeffrey Pittman. DeMonte Russell would be an example of that, and then maybe Corey Ellington. I mean, I don't think they're going to go that route. I think Lebby will take his quarterback. Now, part of that might be because technically there's still a quarterback battle to be had in the fall. Shapen has not been named as the starting quarterback for Mississippi State, even though we all know that he's going to be the starting quarterback for Mississippi State. But they may go that route and say, we haven't named the starter yet, so we didn't want to bring him. I hope that that's not the case, but I could easily see it happening. There's not a guy like even like an Austin Williams, you know, for a few years back, who statistically wasn't a huge, you know, wasn't your leading receiver or anything, but he was a great spokesman for the team. And you know, you could put him out there on the mic and he wasn't going to say the wrong thing. You know, some of these guys, you know, have never been in this position. They've never, you know, been involved like that. So I'm very interested to see how Media Days goes. We're a month out from that in Dallas. It should be a lot of fun. You know, that we should start getting those names pretty soon, too. I want to say, you know, a month out from that is when you start seeing, hey, this is who's coming. And I think that's a good thing for people like me. I don't know if it matters so much to you guys, but it's great for me to be able to prepare, to know who's going to be there, to know, try to set up the interviews that we want to have, try to set up the, you know, this, that, and the other that we can do. So I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to it. There's a barbecue restaurant, Terry Black's Barbecue. It's about a 10-minute drive from our hotel, and I'm going to go eat there. And yeah, that's just, I don't know, that's just a personal note I'd like to throw in there, that I'm going to go enjoy some brisket and some ribs, probably some sausage, maybe a little turkey. I like barbecue. I like smoked turkey. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Media Days, though. Well, this is such a, you know, new teams, new playoff structure. We're in Dallas. There's just a lot going on at one time, and I'm interested to see how it looks. I'm interested to see how it all comes together as we start getting closer and closer to kickoff. This offseason is going by at a reasonable pace for me. I'm not overly looking at the calendar going, how much longer is it to kickoff? I don't know if I've been able to keep busy or what it is, but I'm in a pretty good spot where we are in the offseason. It's not going too slow. But that being said, it could always go faster. We'll wrap it up when we come back. Got a little bit more to talk about with you. I'm going to set you up for where I'm going to be Friday. Want to see you guys if you can make it. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and
and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Here on Thunder and Lightning, live here on Super Talk Mississippi. This Saturday, over at the Mulberry in Vicksburg, the Riviera Day Club Pool Party from 2 to 6 at Mulberry Vicksburg. That's 1310 Mulberry Street. Tickets are $10 each. For more information, call 601-301-2500. As always, we are brought to you by the good folks over at Visit Vicksburg. Looking forward to being back in Vicksburg tomorrow. Planning to stop by the Visit Vicksburg offices and just say hello. I haven't met anybody there. I just do the reads, so I want to let them know that I'm around and that I'm here for them. So this Friday, I will be in the Delta in Boyle, Mississippi, at the Catfish Cabin for the second stop on the Summer Catfish Tour, brought to you by Superior Catfish. Robbie Falk and I will be there for lunch. So around 11 a.m., we'll get things started. And looking forward to talking some Mississippi State sports, talking some catfish. Eating some catfish is probably, if I had to rank my priorities for that stop, eating some catfish is probably number one, followed closely by eating whatever else they want to cook up for us. And then talking MSU sports is probably third. It's a distant third, I'll be totally honest with you. Well, it also will lead to that rarest of birds. A Saturday Thunder and Lightning podcast will be available to you wherever you guys get podcasts from. I'm very upset, Rhino, by the way. We had some sort of issue last week with our uploading software, the website that handles our uploading, and in doing so, it's knocked me out of all of the rankings.
No.
I know. I'm looking at it right now. We are out of all of the rankings, so I don't know quite what happened and what we got to do to get back. Because we're still getting the same number of downloads. Like all of our, we're still getting the same number of people clicking and listening to the podcast, but we're not in the rankings anymore. And I don't know why. And I may have to send a tersely worded email to some folks and be like, hey, I need to know that I'm reaching the people in Ghana and Sweden on a regular basis. You got to help me out here. So hopefully that'll take care of itself. MSU baseball, you know, I'm not going to hit the recruiting song for this. We're not going to play that. But picked up another commitment this week from the transfer portal, Noah Sullivan out of USC Upstate. Shout out to Joe Galbraith. I don't know if he's still there or not. Well, he was at Clemson. He wasn't at USC Upstate. Never mind what I said. But this kid was an interesting player, a two-way player. He pitched for them. His pitching numbers aren't overly impressive. He was 8-1. Which is great, but his ERA was close to 5. I don't know about that. But that being said, if you look at his strikeout-to-walk numbers, maybe there's something there that Justin Parker can work with. I think the 17 home runs and the 320 batting average is kind of where I see him. So we'll see if he what kind of role he can play. State with only 3 commitments out of the portal right now. As far as I can tell, they're still after guys, but they're not having – I don't know if it's that they're not having success or if those guys are just waiting until later in the process to announce. I don't know exactly what the deal is there. I get the frustration, and I feel the frustration because you're seeing a lot of other schools racking up commitments from guys across the portal. And as we've talked about before, Chris Lemonis is notoriously tight-lipped with information to the point where if you somehow come across information, he has been known to be like, hey, don't put that out there. So, just saying, if I get any information, you still might not hear it. But that being said, like I said, information sort of trickles out of there pretty slowly. So we'll see. They definitely need some pitchers. They haven't brought one of those in yet. I don't think they're planning to go into the season next year with just the pitchers they have. They need 3 or 4 guys probably out of the portal, maybe even more, that can not only, you know, have a role, but be – you need to find another Kyle Steven. You need to replace Gerangelo. So I don't know if if they're capable of doing that or not at this point. But it's going to be a very interesting watch over these next few weeks. They need to find some guys. There's no question about that. especially as you look around the SEC, it just keeps getting harder. We're about to see I'm going to make the assumption that Florida loses one of these next two games to Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M will win one of these if they have to play two games. They'll advance. That means you're going to have another first-time national champion from the SEC. Six straight national champions from the SEC. I'm sorry, six out of the last seven national champions are from the SEC, and they're all a different school. Florida, when they won their first one in 17. 19 is, I'm sorry, Vanderbilt's not, it's a different school, but yeah, they're not their first one. Then obviously 2020, it gets canceled. 2018 is the one that's not an SEC school. 21 State, 22 Ole Miss, 23 LSU, obviously not their first one either. And now this year, going to get another first-time one with Tennessee or Texas A&M. It's a tough neighborhood to play in, the SEC. Nothing you can do about it, though. All right, guys, talk to you tomorrow. Again, I'll be in Jackson tomorrow, Rhino, so I'm going to come give you a big hug.
There we go.
So I got to speak at the Rotary Club, and I'm just going to head over to Jackson, do the show there, and then head home after that. So looking forward to it. Be with you guys tomorrow on Sports Talk Mississippi. Until then, for Rhino, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.